You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Again, I am Brent Thomas. If you're not familiar with me, this is my show. So let's get to the first story tonight, ladies and gentlemen. All right, the first one's coming out of Massachusetts, ladies and gentlemen, and this is not long ago from writing this story. I had a major incident that inspired me to record it. Now, in the other incident in my old house in Virginia, I mentioned I've never felt anything that would make me believe there's a ghost in my house. In my new house up in Massachusetts, but that changed, however. Now let me start with this little stuff I just ignored. I moved into my house going on 5 years starting 2008, and when I'm alone and a dark room is nearby, I always feel a strong malevolent presence radiating from it. It feels like I'm being stared at. This presence gets extremely strong if I am not near a light, so strong that it makes me want to scream if I stay in it too long. I experienced that when I went downstairs during the night for a drink and didn't turn on the foyer light because it shines up the stairs and might bother my family. Sometimes randomly at night, the dogs get very upset and go crazy, and these dogs are all bark, but they bark at the most unusual disturbances. They will not bark if one of the family goes down, even in pitch black, and they won't bark if our cat wakes them up, and they can literally tell if it's something normally in the house causing it. One night I heard what sounded like the middle of a wolf's howl while in the bathroom. And if you really need to know, I was getting a tissue, but back to the point, it was like a contagious middle of a wolf's howl, or continuous rather, sorry. I'm just kind of flighty, I guess. Continuous middle of a wolf's howl. Now, I stood there listening to that for a minute and then went back to my room, and the sound faded to almost nothing. But here's what scared the living hell out of me. The sound got louder again. Now, at this point, I was freaked out, so I went back to the bathroom and it quieted down to almost nothing again. But once again, after a minute or so, it got louder. And at this point, I had had enough, so I turned up my headphones to block out the noise. The feelings of malevolence have been a bit stronger during the night afterwards, and I've been frightened away from going downstairs during the night, which never previously happened. It's mostly because I know I won't be able to handle it. You could think of it as I feel like I used to, except always in pitch black normally. And I don't want to find out what the presence feels like in pitch black. The only other incident is one night my sister's printer started making strange noises all on its own. The computer was turned off. My sister wasn't even in the house. She was away at camp, but the printer was making some really odd noises. It did start the noise every 30 seconds or so around that, and at first I thought someone was in the hall because it sounded like a door, but after the 20th door or so, I finally got sick of it and checked to see who was out there, only discover that it was the printer. I cannot answer why the printer did what it did. It hasn't done it since and works fine, for the record, and it's really fairly new. Well, that's peculiar. It's certainly a theme that comes up often in paranormal disturbances is electronic devices and stuff malfunctioning or acting odd or, you know, doing strange things that they wouldn't normally do. And while that could definitely be a indication of something being there, it certainly could also just be a machine that just, you know, sometimes there are ghosts in the machine. And by that, I mean, sometimes machines just do weird things and there may not always be a reason. It might not always be a spiritual thing or might almost never be a spiritual thing, but it may take people by surprise. But I don't know what this person means for sure when they said the printer makes weird noises or did make weird noises. Could it be? Yeah, it could, because there doesn't seem to be much trouble for spirits being energetic beings to interact with energetic devices. They don't seem to have much trouble with that, whether it's TVs, radios, lights, other appliances have been known to be believed to be triggered by spirits. So I guess it doesn't surprise me too much at all. All right, the next one is coming from Pennsylvania. Believe it or not, this happened to me when I was about 6 years old, and this experience has haunted me for most of my life, up until probably 3 years ago. My sisters and my brother would spend a lot of time at my aunt's apartment in East Stroudsburg when my mother would work, and my aunt insisted that her apartment was haunted. And of course, my mom never believed her. My older sister was playing upstairs in my aunt's room while I sat in the chair by the door at the foot of the steps, and I got a flash, or a vision, you might say, of what she saw in the instant she screamed. I saw what she saw in the mirror before she came running down the stairs screaming hysterically. Momentarily, she looked at me, and I looked at her, and calmly told her I already saw what she saw. There was an old lady, looked very much like our mother, with gray hair, and looked very much like a witch. I know that doesn't sound like much, however, she has haunted my dreams ever since, like I said, until recently. I told her I wasn't afraid of her anymore, and that she needed to leave me alone. Do you ever have dreams that seem more real than a dream, or been haunted by things in your dreams? I have. And trust me, there's another one. I told to go away a long time ago. Now we'll write about him, or shall I say it, later. And quite honestly, if this is an apparition causing these weird dream visions, it could be the same thing. It doesn't necessarily, just because it appears to look different, mean that it's an entirely different entity. It might just be a different attack, a different attempt. They don't seem to have any trouble appearing however the hell they want to. So if it is an entity causing these problems, then they may try several different tactics to weaken the person if it is indeed a dark malevolent entity. But, you know, I don't know. All right, so let's see what's next. The next one is coming from California. The story starts off when I arrived at a big, beautiful cabin in the mountains. The place was more of a house than a cabin. It was a really calm place to rent, and I knew I was going to have a great time, and I remember thinking that it would be a great place to stay for the next 3 nights. The cabin had 3 rooms, 2 on the right side of the house away from the kitchen and the living room, and 1 that I was going to sleep in, which was all by itself next to the bathroom, kitchen, and living room. And there were 2 beds in that room. My uncle and my aunt would sleep in 1, and the other would be for me and my cousin Mimi. M-E-M-I-E, Mimi, I think. That night I woke up between 3 and 4 a.m., and there was a dark shadow by my bed, and I was the closest to the slide door closet, and it looked like a girl, so I thought it was my cousin. "Do you need to go to the bathroom?" I said. No answer. Then I looked to my side, and my cousin was sleeping. And man, did my heart jump. I looked at the shadow again, and I didn't know what I should do, and all of a sudden, I started to shake, and I started to sweat. And my body went absolutely numb, and then everything went black. And the next day, I decided to sleep in another room. Now, I believe. Wow. Next one is from South Carolina. The stories that occurred in my house about last year or so didn't take much effort to affect, or didn't take much to affect me. Excuse me. Blessings have been done and such, so hopefully it will keep the bad spirits out for good. And my house is a very old house, and I don't know when it was built, and actually don't know much about the history, but I feel like something terrible has happened in this house, and whomever spirit lurked around here does not want us here and whatsoever. When I was 11 one night, around, say, really early in the morning or so, I woke up and opened my eyes, and there stood a man before me, smiling at me as if he's ready to attack. He had blonde, spiky hair and wore a black type of robe. I yelled for my mom, and he disappeared. 2 weeks later, I was in my room watching television, and my bed was set in front of my desk, and I looked under the desk, and there he was again, sitting there, smiling at me. I pushed my pillow down there, and I ran into the living room, scared out of my mind. About 2 years ago, I was in the bathroom washing my face, and suddenly, I heard someone breathing very heavily right behind me. I hate sitting in silence in this house. Yeah, that's creepy. I don't know what the dude's problem is, but hopefully those blessings worked. Next one is from Texas. Me and my friend Brooke were from, what is it, Quizilla? Q-U-I-Z-I-L-L-A. We're talking on IM, Instant Messenger, and she said that she had a little boy spirit roaming the place, and I would get cold when he would show himself. So in the middle of the night, in the middle of the conversations, she said he was coming. Now, he was there, and he turned on the water, and yeah, he's a funny kid who loves to play around, so she tried to turn off the shower, but he sprayed her. It's one of those old showers with the heads that come off, you know? That's what he did before he allowed her to turn it off, and I laughed at that, and I asked how old he was, and she didn't know, so she asked, and she kept hearing and seeing the number 6. So it turns out he was 6. Close to my ghost, Leela. This is somehow connected to my other story. And apparently this person wrote another story. They took us over to talk. Oh, like they're channeling these spirits? Except I wasn't fully yet taken over. They talked a bit and then they just left. Now, that was the coolest experience ever. I think it's H-H-E, but I think they meant to type she. She said he might stay the night, but didn't know how. And I said, by the mirror, since that's practically the only way I know they can teleport besides following you. So he came over, and when I went back into my room after watching the TV, he threw stuff off the table. The next day, he was gone. Here's the recent one. I was watching TV when I saw an orb go through the wall, and I wasn't freaked out, just surprised. When I saw a lot of shadows until I went into my room, and next we held a seance. We got a lot of contact, but it's all erased, except for the names and ages. And Leela, the little girl, is around 6 or 7, and she has a brother named Alex, and he's 10. And the mother, her name is Cassie, and Cassie is the woman that I saw, and here's another thing. There's a dad, a grandpa, and a grandma. And I'll find out their names soon. I must get that camera. Wow. I don't know. This is pretty disturbing. I this is the kind of stuff that I guess makes me kind of nervous for younger kids experimenting, because you know, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're meeting and what they're dealing with. I don't know. This is the kind of stuff that makes me real nervous, because it's one thing to be curious, but it's another thing entirely to open yourself up to channeling and to try to channel a spirit that you can't possibly understand at that age. Some kids do it naturally, and I understand that, but this girl, apparently her name is Mikomi, is trying to channel this spirit, and I don't know. That has red flags all over it for me. Like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's the thing. Some people may be born with the ability to channel, and that's fine. but they should still seek some kind of guidance and mentorship under somebody who is an experienced channel, because, you know, and no matter what way that you're communicating, how you do it, there are liabilities to it. There are, you know, anytime you're channeling, you are opening yourself to a presence coming through you. Now, if it's, and I don't believe they're everywhere and all over the place like a lot of people believe, but if it is indeed a demonic spirit, you're opening the door. I mean, that's just like, you know, come in and make yourself at home kind of thing. And, you know, of course, we've covered this many, many times on the show, but a demon's objective is to destroy you. I mean, their objective is to demolish anything about you, anything about your life, anything you love, anything that makes you happy. They want you just tortured. And why? I don't know. Again, we can get into the philosophies and we can get into the legends and religious dogma regarding what these things are. And I don't know, maybe they are, maybe they aren't. And I'm not saying either way, because I can't possibly know. I know a lot of the ideas, I know a lot of the philosophies, but I can't say whether they're accurate or not. But to invite something into you is incredibly and profoundly risky. And so if you're hearing the sound of my voice and you're thinking of playing around doing seances and stuff with your buddies at a sleepover, please don't. Not that for sure anything bad will happen, and maybe perhaps nothing will happen, or maybe you guys will just have a great time scaring each other. I don't know, but the problem is what if something does happen? Then what? Are you ready to, you know, deal with an attachment? Are you ready to deal with a possession? Are you ready to go through that trial, that horrible, horrible journey of trying to push something dark and evil out? And it's by no means a small thing. So please be careful. Please, if you're interested in learning how to channel and how to deal with spirits and stuff, find someone to mentor you, find someone to help you understand, find someone to train you, because it's not something you should enter into blindly. Okay, enough about that. The next one is from Arizona. Oh, wow. Gentry says, my mom was pulled off the couch while she was sleeping on it. Yeah, that's a profound energy that they're dealing with. Okay, and Deb, who is our paranormal portal psychic, says, I haven't ever even done seances as many years as I've been doing this. Yeah, I don't think that it's probably necessary. I mean, it is a ritual, and whenever you're doing a ritual, you are, you know, you really have to know what you're doing. Don't open portals you can't close. Don't open doorways you can't shut. Don't invite spirits in that you don't know how to get rid of. It's all the same thing. Just please be careful. Yeah, I bet it did. Gentry said it freaked her out. I said, yeah, I'm sure it did. Wow. Huh. So, yeah, I don't know. Let's get to the next one. So this is Arizona. When I was 8, I lived in a house where there were many weird things that were very eerie, such as doors closing by themselves without it being windy. As the day fell and night came, I had to go to sleep. And some nights, when the closet door was open and the lights were turned off, I could see a disturbing dark figure in the closet, and I could see it staring at me. But I thought it was just the clothes inside, and my room was pretty big. It was probably 12 feet wide by 32 feet in length, and the closet was 30 feet away from my bed. And one day, I went to sleep forgetting to tell my mom to close the closet door, and I awoke and looked into the right, and I could see the thing right there, just 30 feet away. And I got scared, but went back to sleep and awoke again. And I looked around and noticed that I was being held by a dark figure that had no apparent facial features. At first, I thought it was either my dad or my mom, and so I went back to sleep. The next morning, I found myself in my bed and noticed the closet door open. I immediately closed it, and later that day, I asked my parents if they had picked me up in the night, and they said no. Why? But I didn't respond to them. Since then, I have been terrified of closets being opened.
Mm.
Hey guys, Brent Thomas here of the Paranormal Portal Podcast. We just wanted to take a moment to introduce you to the Paranormal Portal store. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, leggings, stickers, mugs, you name it, you might find it over there. So head on over to teespring.com/stores/paranormal-portal, and you too can help fund the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Thank you so much for all that you do, and thank you for being a part of our Paranormal Portal family. You know, that's the weird part. Okay, so you're a spirit, right? Let's say, for instance, you're a spirit. Now, as a spirit, you're looking at, basically being something immortal, that you have a form, you have an energetic core, and I don't know that spirits can ever die. I don't know that that's possible. Maybe it is, and again, that's a whole nother journey and a whole nother discussion, but so you got an eternity of time that you're going to be dealing with. And what if you were stuck in a closet? Could you imagine a worse hell than that? Like, you're stuck looking at somebody's shirts and pants and stuff. I don't know. I don't understand that. Is it kind of like Monsters, Inc., where closets become gateways of some sort, and you know, there's some kind of mystical thing with closets that we don't understand, and you know, that these beings can traverse like portals and move through space and time. And I don't know. I mean, what the hell are they hanging out in closets for? That's the part I don't get. If I'm looking at an eternity and it's going to be looking at somebody's long sleeve shirts, I'm going to be pretty upset, and I don't think I'm going to get over it ever. And I, you know what I mean? It's like, what the hell is that kind of, what kind of a existence is that? I don't know. But I assume they're probably not stuck there, but it's like, why linger in a closet and, you know, torment some child? It's like, you have really nothing better to do than to sit there and stare at some kid sleeping? I don't know. Those are the parts I don't quite understand. And believe me, I try to logic my way through these things as best as I can, but there's some things that are just like, why? I don't get it. Why? So I don't know. You guys have to tell me what you think about that. But you listen to Amy Allen on the Dead Files, and she'll talk about all of these weird situations that she experiences as she does these walks. And I believe that she's quite legitimate. I think she's, probably the real deal. I don't think that, I don't know. I just, something about her, I just think that she's telling the truth, and I don't have any proof of that other than my gut feeling, but I just think that she's got it dialed in. Now, how does that account for the things that she sees? She sees people stuck in walls and these spirits that are just kind of in this weird, twisted limbo state. And it's like, how the hell does that happen? What's going on there? Why are they stuck in walls? What's going on? How did that happen? And she talks about these, these other beings which are stronger, and they chain these other lesser spirits to them and draw off of their energy to be more powerful and stuff. And it's like, oh my God, it sounds like the insect kingdom or something, it's just really wild and twisted. But again, I do think that she sees something. Now, what I've come to the conclusion of, and this is just me, and I've shared this one other time on the show, and again, I have no basis for this other than this is just where my own logic led me to, because I don't believe in a hell, and I'm kind of going out on a limb by saying this, and that might offend some people, but it's not, it shouldn't offend you. I mean, whatever your beliefs are, those are your beliefs, and I think they're wonderful. This happens to be mine, so I don't believe in a hell. I don't believe in that idea, but what I do believe could be happening is I think that by virtue of us being alive, we are imbued with a spark of divinity, of the divine force of the universe or universes or of all reality, however you want to surmise it or encapsulate it, it's up to you. But this is why we are alive, and this is why we are conscious, and this is what the reason that we have a life at all. Now, I do believe that everything is imbued with that spark, whether it's through our manifestation of it or that it has a reality of its own and a consciousness of its own, either or, I don't know. But when we live our lives, I think that if we live our lives in line with that divine spark and in growing that divine spark within us and doing things that nurture that divine spark, then it grows and it becomes all of us and we are aligned with it. Now, there are other people that don't live their lives with this in line with this divine spark. They don't live life in line with, you know, altruistic reasons or good reasons. And so they accumulate this sludge or this, I don't know, luggage, for lack of a better term. And so when the time comes where their journey ends, I believe that the divine spark that is in them has to return to the divine. It just has to. It's in the nature of its reality. But the reality of that person will be either aligned with that divine spark and will go with it, or only a portion of them will go with that divine spark because it's divine. It can't be corrupt. It can't be twisted and turned into something that it's not. It's got to be a universal concept, a constant in my mind. But if a person lives negatively, then their consciousness aligns with the other crap and garbage and luggage. And of course, at the end of their lifespan, is there a separation then? And whatever's left behind is like shed, like an old skin. But if that is where your consciousness was aligned to in life, does that become your reality? Are you then, is that then what an earthbound spirit is, in essence, is the parts that couldn't transcend and go to back to the divine? And I realize this is way out there and you guys will have to forgive me, but I just try to understand this stuff because it's like, how come people are stuck in walls? What's going on there? So if they are not living in life in line with the divine spark, then they perhaps can't go on. They can't progress. They can't go to the next world or the better realm or whatever you want to call it or however you want to define it. But whatever part of this is left, and perhaps all of us will leave some of this garbage behind, and this garbage will have a consciousness because it was part of us. So it has a life of its own. But then does that mean that there are beings that can come and take that garbage and apply it to itself? I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't share things like that. I don't know. I'm not even sure it makes sense to me. So if you're sitting there scratching your head, I don't blame you. But I just try to understand how it can be that people could be stuck in walls and being chained to some other entity. And, you know, I don't know. It's strange. Well, anyway, those are my thoughts on that. But I don't know if anybody's following what I'm saying anyway. Let me get back to some more stories because that's what I'm here to do. All right, this one is coming out of Nevada. It's a little bit longer, but not too much. How are we doing for time? Yeah, we're doing good. It says, I've been gone a while. We've been trying to put everything behind us. Nothing has been happening since my last story. I don't like it when they do this. Why refer to last stories? The other nights, my cousin and my best friend were all over at my house, and we were all in my room. Me, Darian, Layla, JJ and Josh and Amanda was in Darian's room playing on the computer, and we had the lights off and we're just reading ghost stories like we did when we were very little, and went and see who went for the light first. So we were all a little jumpy, but then JJ found my other stories and everyone got really freaked out. After that, we went on to read some more stories and suddenly we heard something fall and run. It sounded like a small animal scurrying across the floor like a mouse, but I know for a fact that we don't have mice, so we looked over and I just assumed that someone had knocked my phone off the cradle and onto the floor, so we bent over my bed to look for it and I couldn't find it, so we just went on, and then beeping. First it came really slow and soft, and then it sped up, beeping a lot and loudly, as if it were on surround sound or something, and the beeping stopped, and then the phone rang once, and We all looked over at it, and everyone's breath was being held. We grabbed someone's cell phone and called Amanda to make sure she was okay, and she came into my room and turned on the light. And we all tried to explain ourselves, but she just looked at us like we were absolutely crazy. JJ froze and told us his arm was numb and he couldn't feel it. I reached over and touched it, and it was way colder than his right arm. Maybe an hour later, a large bruise formed on that cold arm, and it looked like a large palm as if someone had grabbed him hard. This all happened around 3:40 a.m., if that might have anything to do with it. Afterwards, I thought about it, and we were all trying to find some reason for it all, and I had *69 the number to figure out who may have called, and it came back as my friend's number, and she would never call my house that late, so JJ was researching how many times it beeped, and I forget, but divided by another number that beeps equal out to 666. And I don't know, but it was just something creepy and expected, seeing as it's been so calm here the last month or so. Also, we found out if you turn out my lights and take a picture of the corner of the room, you see three orbs. Another unrelated story, we hear whispering in Darian's room, and I could have sworn I heard my mom talking to me through the door, but she was in her room sleeping and snoring, and Darian always hears something say, "Drop it." So now we have that going on too. I guess maybe playing it off as paranoia may have just ticked them off. Could be. I don't know. If their feelings get hurt by that or not, I'm not sure. All right, let's see. I forgot to close that one. Let's open up another one. Because we got time. There's no rush. All right, this one's coming from Georgia. Not too long, but this might be the last one tonight. It was 2001. My family and I were visiting my sick step-grandpa. And the day she came, my sick grandmother. Sick step, that's a tough thing to say. Sick step-grandmother. And the day she came home from the hospital, she was with us for about 10 minutes and passed away. The next night, why am I having trouble reading? This is weird. The next night, me and my brother and cousin were sitting in the kitchen talking, listening to the radio, and there was an old-fashioned clock hanging on the kitchen wall, and it didn't work, and it didn't even have any batteries in it, and we looked up at it, and it started ticking and making different noises. About 5 minutes later, there was about three different songs on the radio, and the volume on the radio was going up and down. There was nobody at the radio, but we could see the knobs moving. Later on that night, me and my brother were going to bed, and I had to sleep where she passed away. And in the living room, while I was trying to go to sleep, I could hear the words and sounds she was making as she left us. I haven't really wanted to go back to that old house again. In 2006, my oldest brother sold the house and land and moved to Florida, and I feel like she was trying to send a message to us, but I haven't figured it out to this day, what it could be. Maybe you can help me understand this situation a little better, and if anything like this has happened to you, please comment. Well, I think in a lot of cases, these kind of things happen just because they maybe want you to know they're fine, you know? In the case where my dad passed away, again, if you're familiar with the portal at all, you'll know the stories, but my dad has apparently been turning on his TV at home, and so I'll encapsulate it again because I can't give you a show description where you can watch and see me talking about it, but it was on a Friday night. My mom had called me earlier that day and said, basically my mom's phone ghost called me or butt dialed me or whatever. And I got the call and I was saying, mom, and nothing was there except I could hear something faintly in the background and I could hear a man mumble or talk or clear his throat every once in a while. And I thought maybe my brother was over visiting my mom because after my dad passed, she of course lives alone. And I was like, well, what's going on? And my parents have a two-story house. And my dad always loved to sit out on the porch. It was a big four-season porch. It was all windows. I caught it. It was all windows, and he had his TV out there, and he would spend all his time out there whenever he was indoors. But I got this weird call, and I tried, you know, I listened for about several minutes, whistling, calling, listening, just to try to get, you know, I figured she just butt dialed me or whatever, and it was no big deal. Well, I hung up, and then I called her back because I thought, well, maybe the phone will ring, and that'll get her attention. Well, there was no answer the second time that I called, and so I was like, well, it didn't sound like anything bad was going on. I was just thought that was really strange. Well, about 10 minutes passed, and suddenly she's calling me, and I said, hey. She goes, yeah, what's up? And I said, I don't know. You called me. What was going on? She goes, I didn't call you. And I said, oh. Well, I said, your phone called me. I said, it's, you know, it's right here on my caller ID. And I said, I sat and listened, and nobody was there. I heard this mumbling and talking, but nobody was there. And she said, well, that's impossible. I said, well, is my brother over there? And she goes, no, I'm alone. She said, I was downstairs I was in the shower downstairs. And she said, my phone was sitting up here on the table in the dining room. And I'm like, well, that's weird. She said, yeah, it's impossible that my phone called you. So we didn't know what to think of it. And we got to talking, and she told me that, you know, she was watching TV the night before in her area of the house, which is the living room. See, my mom and dad watch very different shows. So my mom would watch television in the living room, and my dad would watch it out on the Four Season porch. And she said, I was sitting there watching television, and suddenly I heard another sound, and I muted my TV, and I realized the TV on the porch came on by itself. Now, my parents live in a rural area, and there's not any near neighbors close enough that, you know, another remote might be triggering their TV or anything, and it's never happened before. So she said, you know, I don't know what to make of that, and I said, well, that's strange. And she said, when I came up from the shower and saw you called, the TV was on again out on the porch. I'm like, well, that's weird. I said, well, maybe Dad's just coming by to tell you he's okay. Maybe he's just letting you know he's okay. And so I thought that was really cool, and we talked for a little bit, and thought nothing of it, but I went on and did my show on Friday night, that night, and I was telling everybody, the audience, you guys, about this experience of my dad perhaps turning on the TV at my parents' house. And we went through this whole dialogue, telling about the ghost call and everything, and the strange noises, hearing a man in the house, and that sounded like my older brother, but he wasn't over there, and so on and so forth. Well, I get done with the show, go to bed, get up the next day, and I'm sitting with my coffee, looking over the show from that Friday night, and my mom calls me. She says, "Do you hear this?" And I said, "What's going on?" She said, "Can you hear that noise?" I said, "Yeah, I hear something in the background." She goes, "His TV just turned on again." I said, "Whoa, that's really strange." Now, my dad was really crazy about Walker, Texas Ranger. He loved Walker, Texas Ranger. DVR'd the whole thing. I mean, he would just sit there and watch Walker, Texas Ranger. And, you know, it's fine. It was Chuck Norris. And who doesn't love some Chuck Norris, right? But, you know, I said, you know, Mom, what might be nice is if sometimes you just put on his TV and put on his DVR as a Walker, Texas Ranger. And she said, yeah, maybe I'll do that. And so we chuckled a little bit, and we hung up. And she called me back like 2 minutes later. She said, oh, my God, you're not going to believe this. And I said, what? And she said that she went to turn on his TV to try turning on Walker, Texas Ranger. And she turned on the TV, and the TV automatically came on, was on YouTube, was on my show, The Paranormal Portal. And it was playing the part where I was talking about my dad turning on his TV. And I don't know what the odds of that happening are. But now, ladies and gentlemen, they have a smart TV. But in order to get it to the browser, it's not the brand newest ones that are really, you know, like even voice activated. It's an older one with the remote. You'd have to turn on first of all, the TV isn't set up to access the internet because it's never been connected to the router directly. But it would have to be set up for the router. It would have to be launched, and then you would have to go to YouTube, and then you would have to search for The Paranormal Portal, and then you would have to find that episode and cue it up. It would take so many steps, but as soon as she pressed the power button on, it was there. It was playing that, and so she recorded it with her phone. She made a video of it, but she said that was just unbelievable. Now, the odds of that are probably about the same as going to take out the clothes out of the dryer and they're all perfectly folded. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how that could have happened outside of that. But it's honest to God, it's a true story. It really happened. And it continues to be one of the more profound stories I didn't experience it directly other than the ghost call, but I think, you know, Dad was probably just calling me. And the funny thing is that in life, this man couldn't operate a remote to save his life. He always had to call my mom in to put his shows on and stuff. He could not figure out how to get to Walker, Texas Ranger and to all this stuff. So she set up the DVR to record all this stuff and stuff. And she would always have to go set it up so he could sit and watch it. So really cool. But I'm pretty sure that was my dad just saying, hey, I'm okay. Everything's fine. And so in instances like that, where weird things happen after somebody passes, I think that's their way of just saying, it's okay. You know, we're still here. I'm still around. And I think that that's a beautiful thing. So anyway, that's the true story. One of my personal stories, but I hope you enjoyed it. But just great things happening on the portal. And thank all of you guys. I'm just so thrilled you all are here. And I'm just honored to do these shows with you guys and for you guys. And thank you so much for being a part of the family. And so in closing, I love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice, take care of each other, help each other out, find the magic in every day, and make sure you smile once in a while. So you guys take care. Have a wonderful evening.
betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Martin, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.